Thank you, Other Smiths. Told my students when I taught at Ambassador Baptist College that Jeff was my son, and some of them believed it, and so now I have to say he's my honorary son, because I have a son named Jeff Smith. But one of the thrills of that time, kids, you can go. Thank you. One of the joys of that time is that we have a number of students who are all across the world serving the Lord on the mission field and preaching, and we are so excited to hear about Jeff and Kim deciding to go to the mission field, and have prayed for them for a long time. So we're thankful for that. This is a great privilege, but also an honor and a humbling thing to be behind this pulpit once again. Last time was probably when Pastor Kennedy was here, but it goes back further than that. Pastor's mentioned a little bit, and I'm not going to go into much detail about the ties, but it was on this platform 27 or 8 years ago that I had the joy of participating in my son-in-law Kent Rambler's ordination here at Marquette. That was my first visit here. Pastor Van was still the pastor then. And many times since then, we've come to programs and graduations and just visited and all those kind of things. I bring you greetings from Ed and Heather in Cincinnati and from Kent and Joy in Frederick, Maryland. So we have a lot of memories and ties here, and we're thankful for this work and this ministry and what the Lord has done here. As you're turning to Hebrews chapter 11, housekeeping things as we get ready for the message tonight. You will, if you don't know what already about us, you will see our presentation on Wednesday night if you're here, and that will introduce us and our ministry more than we'll take time for tonight, by all means. But we would like to invite you in these next few days to go by the table back there for all the missionaries. Pick up a prayer card. We have a list there to sign up. If you want to get email prayer updates or snail mail, you can put your regular address on there for that. And then there are some CDs on the table. These are concert hymn arrangements, piano arrangements that Sue has made. And there's an envelope there to put your $10 in if you want to take those home. We always encourage folks to get all the good music they can in their home. Now, you won't, it's kind of sight unseen tonight. You won't hear her play till tomorrow night at the offertory. But I think that those who have already had one of these can recommend it as being worthwhile for you to do that. There is also on the computer is a repeating PowerPoint presentation with no sound, just pictures of, I call it, Let's Visit the Mountain West. They're just pictures of scenery and things to that are characteristic of the states in which we serve and in which we cover. All right, Hebrews chapter 11. We'll be looking at, it's several verses in the chapter, so I won't read it as a text now. But it was here in this church on the second pew a year ago in May that we happened to be visiting here. And it wasn't missions conference at that time of year, but there was a missionary speaker that day, a guest speaker. And in at the beginning of his message, he said, I want you to quote 2 Corinthians 5:7 with me. Let us turn there. And he said, okay, now let's quote it together. And he said, for we walk by sight and not by faith. And we're all looking around. He goofed. He said, I know that I quoted that differently than in your Bibles. He said, the reason is because that's how most Christians live. They walk by sight and not by faith. And we at the time were having a real struggle to decide where the Lord wanted us for our next project, church planting project and ministry. And we had some opportunities and we were afraid about, well, that's not really the word, but we were afraid about which to go, when to place, and how the Lord would take care of us and all these things. And I remember sitting there and both of us just crying, weeping that night as the Lord used that to cement in our hearts that He wanted us to go to Rimrock, Arizona. and be involved in a new church planting work there. So I want to talk to you tonight for these few moments about walking by faith. We know, we hear about, we sing about God's faithfulness often, do we not? God is faithful, who will not suffer to be us to be tempted or tested above what we're able, but make a way of escape for us. God is faithful to the end. And we have our faith, and we sing, "My faith looks up to Thee, and my faith has found a resting place." But sometimes there's a big disparity between the two. And we are not as faithful, even to our, not just spiritual things, but general things in life, as God is faithful to us. And being faithful requires us to exercise faith, literally to walk by faith. So in this chapter 11 of Hebrews, this is kind of introduction to the just the main skeleton points we want to make tonight. Some underlying principles of faith we find in verse 1 and then also in verse 6. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Most people, even Christian people, church people, and people in the world in general, think of faith as a nebulous kind of thing, or something that's an intangible that you can't really, you know, sort of like love and honesty and different things like that. Then why would God say that it's a substance and that it's evidence? I think of the picture of you're standing, say, on a sidewalk by a house, and you're up near the corner of the house, and all of a sudden you see a shadow, a head and then some shoulders coming around the edge of that house. That tells you that there's something casting that shadow. The sun is over there, and sure enough, a person appears, and they have made that shadow. You see the shadow, but then you know that the substance has to cast that shadow. Faith is a concrete substance, and it is evidence, not just a thought or not just a whim or not just a hope, but an evidence of things that we didn't see ahead of time. That's why Paul says we walk by faith and not by sight. Down in verse 6, there's another principle that's highly important to us. The writer says, "Without faith, it is impossible," not difficult, not up to whims and so on, but impossible to please Him. Who's the Him? That's God and Jesus Christ. It's impossible to please Him. Why? Because he that cometh to God must believe two things. He must believe first that He is. You run into people in your everyday life and in your witnessing outreach program who don't believe that He is, or believe that if He is, that He doesn't care about human beings, that He's kind of wound us up and left us down here to go about our business and so on. So you have to believe that He is, but also that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. How do we seek Him? Well, we pray, we seek to live for Him, we find out what He wants us to do in His Word, and He promises to reward the faith that comes from doing that. So obviously the converse is that if we don't not just seek Him, but don't seek Him diligently with all of our heart and mind and soul and strength, then we're not in line for those rewards that God promises. Probably more verses in Hebrews 11, this I call the Heaven's Hall of Heroes, are taken up with Abraham than with any one single character. There's a longer passage. And there are four characteristics of Abraham's life that demonstrate faith, and more especially the kind of faith that God hopes, if God can hope. I mean, He knows, we know that. God expects and wants us as believers to have. And these characteristics have proven themselves true in our lives, so you'll forgive maybe some personal references or some testimony a little bit in places as we go along. Verse 8, the Bible says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called," we heard about the call tonight to a place, "when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and went out," but then a strange thing it says, "not knowing whither he went. You know you're going to Ottawa, right? Lord willing, the creek doesn't rise and the bridge doesn't fall apart. You're going to Ottawa. We have a lot of things in our life. James talks about that, going into such and such a city to buy and sell and get gain and make our plans and so on. But Abraham didn't know where he was going, and yet he had a call. Now that doesn't fit in. That's kind of the opposite of what Brother Jeff was talking about, what Pastor said, being called to a place. But the Scripture says he was called to a place. He just didn't know yet where it was. And so that illustrates to us that people with faith can leave or obey God, can leave their place where they are with just a pointing of God. They don't have to have all the information in hand all at once in order to obey God. He went out obeying but not knowing whether he went. That was kind of the thing we faced that night, or prior to that night, that we wanted to go obey the call of God, and we were ready to do that, but we just didn't know for sure where He was going to call us. There's a challenge in 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith and not by sight. There were some confirmations for us as well for this point of leaving just a pointing of God. Brother John O'Malley, who is the General Director of Worldwide New Testament Baptist Missions, our mission agency, preached a message in our family week, in our annual meeting. We were talking with Sister Sandra about annual meetings down in Florida, and that was where it was. And he preached a message from this passage that really drove home these points to us at that time. Brother Danny Whetstone, has he been here, Pastor? He's the president of Worldwide. He was talking about people getting a call to a place or feeling a burden to a place because of the people groups or because of the lostness of the people and things like that that we can all identify with. But he said the real reason we go as missionaries is not because we love people, it's because we love God. And obedience is a demonstration of that love, is it not? So Abraham obviously loved God because he went out to a place that he didn't know where he was going, but he did obey. He left with just a pointing of God. But then in verse 9, the Bible says, by faith he sojourned, took up temporary residence in the land of promise, as in a strange or foreign country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. We know how throughout Scripture, much in the Old Testament, God talks about not just Abraham, but Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as being the heirs of the promise and receiving the Abrahamic covenant and so on. So that illustrates a second principle from Abraham's life. That is, not only can people with faith leave with just a pointing of God and don't have to know exactly what He's doing at the time to obey. The second thing is, people of faith can live on just a promise. Abraham dwelt there. He sojourned there. And all he had at that time was a promise. He didn't have the fruition of the promise. He didn't have Isaac yet. He didn't know about the place where he was going to end up yet. He didn't have the covenant yet. But he went according to the promise. I like the promise I found in Psalm 92, verses 12 through 14, which says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. There are a whole bunch of cedar and juniper trees in the Verde Valley and going up on the hill towards Flagstaff in Arizona, surrounding our house even. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord, those that come into the church plant. Now, you realize I'm taking Smith liberty with this, right? Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God, where God dwells. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Most of us don't like to claim taking part or being part of old age, but we're pretty old. We've talked about that with different folks. We remember things from you know, how it used to be when we were kids and all those things. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall flourish. Not just exist, but flourish. That has really come home to me, even though this was last year when the Lord brought this verse to mind. That when I experienced the heart attack this summer and began to go through recovery and rehab and these kind of things, one of the first thoughts that came to mind was, God must have brought me back to life those four times because He still had some ministry left for me to do. So many, even right here, have prayed for us in these past months. And it's a humbling thing to us. We appreciate it so much. Can't tell you how much that means. And people literally from all over the world. But God has maintained or kept a focus through that time with us that even in old age, we can flourish. Maybe we can't travel as much or in the same ways or can't drive for 3 days straight or whatever. But our ministry can flourish in old age because God promises the righteous shall flourish. Now, I'm not claiming to be righteous, but I'm claiming to be robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who looks at me and He sees His Son. The sun gets in His eyes, when preacher said, when God looks at me. I like that. S-O-N. So people with faith can live on just a promise. You perhaps have claimed all different kinds of promises, different ways. We went around and polled each one of you. Said, what's God's the most faithful promise God's shown you or your favorite promise in the Bible? We'd get a lot of different answers because there are many, many promises in the Bible. I really, really like the verse in 1 Kings 8:56 that says, there hath not failed one word of all His good promises. You can take that to the bank. You can go out in faith on that truth alone. People with faith can live on just a promise. They can live with just a pointing of God. But number three, look down at verse 10. For he, Abraham, looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Now back to verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. It's hard sometimes to hear a promise and to get to the point where we're persuaded that God will keep that promise, and then where we embrace it as our own and say, God promised that to me. God can keep His word to me. God can perform miracles still today in my life, just as He has throughout the past. And He certainly has done that for me in these last months. Those people can faith, the third principle that Abraham taught us is people with faith can look for a better place. Now, we hear that language often when somebody dies, don't we? Say, well, he's in a better place, she's in a better place, or they've gone to a better place. And we know what people mean when they say that, and even people that aren't really truly saved will say something like that because they know about heaven in general and so on. But in this case, it was a specific thing, a city, a place, a dwelling place that these people were looking for. Notice their perception. They having seen them, this verse from verse 13, seen them afar off. That's where walking by faith and not by sight comes in. We say, wait a minute, it says they saw them. Yeah, but they were far away. They weren't close enough to get all the details yet. But they perceived that what God had promised, He would be able to perform, as Romans 4 says about Abraham. They saw them afar off, and then they were persuaded, they were convinced. How much does it take to persuade you to act on a promise of God? How much force does God have to bring forth to get us to believe His promises? There's not one of them that's failed, and yet we go through life hesitant sometimes about claiming the promises of God or feeling like we're being too presumptuous. And so we still pray, God, if it's your will, do so and so. We know He's going to do His will, don't we? We know that He'll keep His word. But we come into a hard place, we come into a circumstance of life, and we wonder sometimes. Or we're just a little, we're not really doubting. We don't want God to zap us for just not believing Him at all. But we just kind of hedge our program a little bit. And we just kind of make some backup plans just in case God doesn't do this. We want Him to, we expect Him to, but we're not quite sure He's going to. But there hasn't failed one word of all His good promises. Not one. Not only were they persuaded, but there was participation. They embraced the promises. When you embrace somebody or something, you have to take some action. You can stand here and believe and know somebody and like them and so on, but you can't embrace them without taking some action, putting out your arms and holding on to that. They held on to the promises of God in looking for this city. And they were willing to make a pilgrimage to get to this better place. There's a religious group in this world that builds their whole life around making a pilgrimage, getting to a certain place. They have more stick-to-itiveness and more passion for that a lot of times than we do to get to the place where God wants us in our lives. And I'm not just talking about a city or a physical place. I'm talking about the position, what God wants us to do, what He wants us to be, how He wants us to walk in faith. They were strangers and pilgrims, and yet they went ahead. They embraced those promises. Well, then the fourth principle, the last one, down to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried or tested, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises, up through the earlier part of these verses, offered up his only begotten son. Now that's significant in that Isaac was one of the promises, right? And it looked like God wasn't going to keep that promise if Isaac had died. We don't find it so much back in Genesis 22, but we find it here in Hebrews 11, that Abraham, verse 19, accounted that God was able to raise him up. That word able there is the same word that we find in other places for dunamis, power. God had the power to raise this son from the dead, even if Abraham had stabbed him with that knife. And Abraham must have believed that because Hebrews says he did. From whence he also received him in a figure, in a picture. So, people of faith, yes, they can leave with just a pointing of God and obey on that on the strength of that promise. They can live on just a promise. They can be looking for a better place and trust the promises, but there will come a time when people with faith have to let go of what is precious. Abraham had that kind of faith. I wouldn't say countless times, but there have been times in the ministry and pastoring when good, solid, Bible-believing, independent, fundamental Baptist families, and specifically parents, will say when a child responds to an altar call or responds to a camp message or in a missions conference, wants to give themselves to the Lord wherever He sent them. They say, well, yeah, we pray for that. The labors are few, but not you, honey. You perhaps have known the same kind of thing. I hope there's not you that have been in that spot. But in crowds of any size, it's possible. We're willing to let others go. And we're willing to send them. But when it comes close to home, that's not quite the same. I can remember standing at the window of an airport in Charlotte, North Carolina, watching my newly married daughter and her husband take off for Chile as missionaries. And it was hard. It was our firstborn. We looked at each other through tears and we said, you know, this is what we prayed for all of their life. We gave her to God before she was even born for what He would use them for. Now she's trained, she's gone to school, and we should be overjoyed instead of thinking, how can we give her up? How can we do without her? And that kind of thing. There are categories of things that are precious to us that we have to let go of. One is people, of course. It might be on the shoe on the other foot. God has spoken to and dealing with and a young person or a young couple maybe struggling with what they feel might be a call of God, but they just don't want to leave mom and dad. And just don't want to be alone for all this time and get into a place where we were talking about at the table earlier, where the expectations don't reach quite as high as they did when it was exciting to go to the mission field to start out. People can be very precious to us, and they should be. But we have to be willing to let go of precious people sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes if we want to walk in faith. Now, it wasn't original with me or probably any of us years ago heard them say that God may not call me to Africa, but He wants me to be willing to go to Africa if He did call me there. God may not put you on a certain mission field or a dangerous place or Zimbabwe, but He wants you to be willing to go there if He did send you there and to be able to leave behind those people that are precious. Well, sometimes it's not just or only people. It might be instead possessions. A young family buys a house, have a good job. They are active in their local church. They're raising their kids in Christian school or homeschooling them and trying to teach them about the Lord. And a missions conference comes to the church. And God breaks their heart as they listen to a missionary and feel a need and feel God might be calling them. But man, I'd have to sell my house. I'd have to give up living in America. I'd have to give up all the things that we enjoy. Possessions can be very precious to us. Jesus, of course, said that if we're not willing to leave behind father and mother and houses and lands, we're not worthy to be His disciple. Payments, in other words, finances, can be precious to us. There might be a big salary to give up. There might be help from other people that would dry up if we did what God wanted us to do. Even on an earlier scale, I remember being a student in Bible college, meeting some friends or having some roommates whose parents said, we'll support you and take care of everything if you go to a state school, but if you go to that Christian college, don't expect any help from us. You'll have to pay your own way. And so it took a decision to go on for God, to walk by faith, or stay home and take in the finances. And it's the same thing with giving up a job, giving up a paying position of that. I think that points up, I was a teenager when I first heard this at camp. The acrostic with the letters of faith, there's probably several, but if you put F-A-I-T-H, you spell forsaking all, I trust Him. We get the trust part, okay, but we have a lot of problems sometimes with the forsaking and even more so forsaking all and trusting Him, stepping out by faith. At that same conference in Florida where Brother O'Malley preached a message here from Hebrews 11, there was another missionary like we do. We have missionaries in our conferences give testimonies or tell about their work. This fellow was a church planter in Alabama. And he said he had been in business when God called him to go into the kind of ministry. And he said he had to come to the place where he prayed and said, and this is quoting him, God, there is nothing in my life that is so precious that You can't have it. That takes a lot. Maybe hard to come to that place. But people of faith sometimes have to let go with what is precious. There's a song, a hymn, think it's in Majesty. And I just want to remind you, though I'm not going to sing it. You'll say amen to that. But no. It's called May the Lord Find Us Faithful. You familiar with that? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but has given us the strength to obey. With power and sound mind, with love, the unfailing kind. Oh, be not ashamed of His way. No man that seeketh after things of this life is a soldier who passes the test. Be faithful, be working, be running, be serving, be searching His Word for His best. Living or dying, may honor be thine. From this wretched life you loved and forgave, a life that is on fire, be only our heart's desire. Be faithful from now to the grave. The refrain goes, may the Lord find us faithful. May His Word be our banner held high. May the Lord find us faithful every day, though we live, though we die, on a mission field someday. Pray that each of us might accept this challenge tonight and make both our prayer and our practice to walk by faith. Somebody might well ask, how do we do that? He told us what to do and why we should do it and how hard it is to do it. Look at chapter 12, verse 2. The way we walk by faith and not by sight is to have our eyes on Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, who is both the author and the finisher, the completer of what? Our faith. That's all there is to it. It's not an oversimplification. It's not one of those, oh, easy for you to say, type things. It's what God says. Let's look to Him and walk by faith. Pastor?